that old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
And good morning. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around again. Got the Radio Ranch Wranglers here around the ranch microphone. Pour you a cup of coffee and join us. Never know what we'll be talking about. We'll be right back. Hope you enjoy this song. Pastor Peters always did.
And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, is gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find, you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. That will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around one more time. Can you believe it? And we are rolling around again, trying to make sure we stay connected here on Saturday morning, January 7th. I think we're back up again, so if we're disconnecting and connecting on you, you just have to have faith and believe. And that's what we do. We're sitting here with our coffee, and we welcome you to coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Mr. Ramrod. John, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm abundantly blessed, brother.
Amen. Amen. And this is Wrangler Richard coming to you, and good morning, Cowboy Kyle.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kyle.
And we're giving Ranch Wrangler Jason the morning off. He's still recuperating, had some wisdom teeth issues this week, so we're sure giving him a little time off to rest and recuperate, but rest assured he'll be back with us next week. Well, we're going to start off this Coffee with the Ranch Wranglers, as we try to every Saturday morning, with prayer. And Kyle, would you start us off with that, please, sir?
Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your precious Son, who died for us and gave us this opportunity to go throughout the airwaves and talk about him. And we thank you for all your servants, Lord, that you've sent through the past, and the one that we got to know, the one that set up this ministry, that we go before you now, Lord, and try to keep the same message, the same procedure out there. Just try to keep on the straight and the narrow, and the truth in your spirit, Lord. We thank you for just being able to get out here this morning and do this. And we ask you for your guidance and directions, and just for your Holy Spirit to be with us, what we say and what we do, and that we provoke somebody or edify somebody through you, Lord. It's all about you. We just come to you humbly in your blessed holy name, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, today is January 7th. I believe it's the first Saturday in January, the first Saturday in 2012. So we just say welcome to everybody out there. We are broadcasting out on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, going out on satellite, internet, and shortwave. And our shortwave frequencies are 5.755 and 9.480. Depending on where you're at, you'll find us on one of those frequencies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's where we're coming to you now this Saturday morning. Boy, we hadn't even got the sunshine out here yet.
It's nope,
still
it's dark.
Pretty dark out here at the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And
must have got colder last night because it's cold in the house because we've had the heat turn way down. It's been so warm.
Yes, it did. We've been lows only in the 30s at night, which is warm for here. And I think last night and tonight we're looking at lows in the teens, about a 50% chance of snow today.
Oh, really?
And, that's kind of where we're at here at the Radio Ranch. So
we could use it, though, that's for sure.
We could. Well, Kyle, we'll start with you this morning. I'll just turn it over to you. And you got, so you got your Bible open there. And what do you have to share with us this morning?
Not much. Until you said it was January 7th, I hadn't realized it. I guess today would be 6 months. Six months since the pastor died. Half a year.
Yes.
In some ways, it seems like 2 days. In some ways, it seems like a long time. And like I said during my prayer, I have no idea what I'm going to pray when you ask me to pray, Richard. I just thank the Lord that He put a man on this earth in our days like that man was. I mean, I read for years about these men in the Bible. And I'm not equating him with these men. I have no idea, the difference. But I know he was the most spiritual and most like these men in the Bible that I could ever meet and did ever meet. So I just kind of just hit home when you said it was January 7th.
Yep.
So I ain't got a whole lot as far as, I have no idea what's going on in the world other than, the stupid caucuses or whatever they call them, going on. But I haven't been paying attention to world events very good lately. I don't know why. I just kind of ain't in the mood for it,
Yeah, I hear you. Like you said in your lesson on called to preach, Unsaddle Up, our pastor that we had for 33 plus years was called to preach. He didn't decide to preach. God called him to preach, and he made the sacrifice to give up a good job and seek ye first the kingdom, and the Lord rewarded him for that. But that's the difference between those who just decide, well, I'm going to be a preacher, and those who are actually called to preach. So we were fortunate. We had the best.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we had, last week, I mentioned it on Wednesday night prayer meeting, we prayed for the young man. But had a man call and say, gave me his name. He's in Tennessee. He says, I've just completed my incarceration, and while I was there, I've studied the Bible and did your Bible law course, and I did this with such and such institute of theology or whatever it was. And he said, now that I'm out, I've been ordained by Pastor so-and-so, and I'm ready to start a church, and I just thought I'd call you guys and see if you had any advice. I said, well, you ask for advice.
What, would you give him a run?
So, I told him, and I quoted the scripture to him that said, be not many of you teachers, for you shall incur a stricter judgment. And I explained to him that when the Bible says study to show yourself approved, it does not mean overnight.
Yeah, amen.
And that it is a great responsibility to be a shepherd, to feed the flock, to teach. And that there is a stricter judgment that comes with that. And that is God's way. And that was sure something that our pastor never backed off on. You know, I remember him saying that, you know, when he was deciding and being prayed over by people that weren't even telling him that, that I remember him sharing that he said that, I don't know if it was Brother Word or who said that, that if you preach, you, it can only be because you can't do anything else. And that's not in a worldly sense, but that you couldn't stand to do anything else. That that was all you could stand to do. And you know, you do have to be called. You do have to be chosen. You do have to be faithful. And for sure, our pastor was all of those.
Yeah. Well, I got a phone call this week. I think I told you guys about it a little bit, but a man named Kevin. And he asked, he goes, are you guys planning on anybody taking the helm out there? You know, and I just said, Kevin, I pray for a preacher every night and every morning, but I'm praying for one from God.
Yeah.
I said, none of us out here have been called to preach. None.
Nope.
That's not saying they're not going to be, but as of right now, you know, we're praying for preacher because we know that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
And yes, we have all those archives, you know, that pastor gave, and we have all these writings that the apostle gave us. But we are praying for a preacher. We're just not going to take the hireling, because the hireling don't care for the sheep. Now, we had a pastor who loved the sheep. And, I mean, I would hear things like, I would hear occasionally, he's a woman hater, or he, you know, but when you were around him and you were witnessing him, you know, you realize that he loved the sheep.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes when you love the sheep, you got to give them tough love. And I think every one of us out here experienced that tough love, but we understood that it was what we needed to hear. You know, so. And Kevin said, that's good enough for me. That's what I wanted to hear. And he kind of just made it known that he needed to hear that, you know, because I don't know what he was thinking. We didn't go into that, but he was thankful. You know.
Well, that's kind of what the new January newsletter will kind of explain what our position is. So the Acres of Diamond Men have already kind of received a letter that explains it, but the ministry, the whole ministry is going to get that this month, and hopefully that'll let them know what direction we're moving forward. So,
right. And yeah, because we've had letters and we've had emails and calls and, you know, from those that have, quote, preached before at other places, and you know, sure, asking and offering and when it's not of God, it's not of God.
Yep.
And so
we'll know it when it's right.
When God provides, He will provide. That's right. Kyle made a good mention of that. That said, you know, like you said, you know, we right now are not called to do that, to fill those shoes. But you know, all four of us could wake up tomorrow morning and all four have a calling.
That's
you
very
know,
possible.
Or any one, you know, and. Don't think that we don't pray for that, you know. But when we pray for God's will to be done and for God to raise one up, as opposed to saying, God put me there.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that a big difference?
Big difference. Yeah.
I was I ran something by Kyle this morning real quick. Let me flip over to Mark. Maybe that's the appropriate time to read that. But it's Mark 10 if you have your Bibles, and I'll read it out of the new. I got a. My father-in-law's old King James. And but in Mark 10, starting in verse 35, it says, And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, Oh, yes. They said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And then it goes on and says, when the other, you know, ten heard it, they were displeased with James and John. And then in 42, but Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servants of all. And I just confirmed it with Kyle this morning that, you know, James and John, at that time at least, did not know what spirit they were of.
No.
Yeah.
What they wanted was what the world projected. What they wanted was they wanted to sit at his right hand, at his left hand. They wanted to be his...
prestigious, yeah.
The prestige. They wanted to be the vice president and secretary of state over his mm-hmm. ministry. And, you know, I can see in my mind's eye Jesus just shaking his head saying, you just don't get it, do you? You just don't get it. And, you know...
I've done that a few times.
Yes. The way of his ministry, the way of the gospel, the biblical, the Christian way, is not the way of the world.
Thing we got to remember, too, is praise the Lord, our pastor's still feeding the sheep.
Yeah.
Stuff he's done 20 plus years ago. So, you know, there's one thing that nobody has complained about is the archives that our
That's
pastor's
right.
done. So.
Amen. Amen. And if you tuned in on Wednesday night, you heard Acres of Diamonds man Tim from Washington pray. And you know, John, I think I did mention it to you. That's how he prayed.
Was yeah.
He prayed for the people that provide us physical food.
Yep.
They would be blessed. They would continue to be able to provide us good, nourishing food.
Yep.
And he prayed against the people that put forth physical food that's not nourishing. That's got
yeah.
chemicals in it and hormones and this and that. And then, you know, he prayed and he thanked God, and he thanked God for Pastor Peters for the food that, and along the same lines, for the feeding of the sheep that he has done over the years. And I like the way he put it, that he said that when he, he prayed that and was thankful that the food that was given even sometimes 20 and 25 years ago has not gone bad. It is not spoiled. It is
yeah.
still just as nourishing today as, you know, when it was given so long ago. So.
Amen. Yep, that's a good analogy.
Well, you got anything on your mind, John?
I could tell a little story, I suppose.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
We're hurting for things to talk about.
Richard just took a phone call, so.
Oh. Well, anyways, when I was back in Chicago for Christmas to spend some time with my mom and my brothers, most of you know that we lost my dad a week before we lost the man I called my dad. But anyways, about 2 weeks before that, there was a young man, 40 years old, actually studying to be a pastor, that had a stroke. And went to the hospital, and while he was at the hospital, he had a major heart attack, which made his aorta burst. And at the time, he had about a 1 in 9 chance of surviving the surgery. But there was a whole lot of people out there praying, and he made it through surgery. And then he made it through one thing after another, miracle after miracle, coming out of a coma and etc. But his wife has 4 children, and a buddy of mine that I grew up with from kindergarten back in the Chicago area, we were both heathens. You know, I became a Christian, a real Christian, I guess 17 years ago when I first found the church and found my wife. But he just recently, in the last 5 years, probably became a Christian and started a thing called Men for Integrity, which basically is trying to hold fathers accountable. And I admire him for that. I've actually traveled to Chicago to participate in that. But what he did was he called for the men that are men of integrity to stand up and take a night to spend with this young man praying and asking God for intervention and healing. And I've taught him quite a bit based on what I've learned about James 5:14 and Leviticus 14:15. And anyways, so the men did start to step up, and one man spent the night with him every single night for over a month. Well, I had the opportunity while I was back there to offer and spend the night with the young man on the 23rd of December. So I did. I brought my Bible. And I read scripture to him and read pretty much everything that I highlighted in my Bible. And you could see, you know, he couldn't talk and he was pretty drugged up, but he'd smile. And one of the scriptures, like what Richard was talking about, that I told him was that at least many of you become teachers as you will incur stricter judgment, you know. You got to realize that because you want to be a pastor, you know, this is, I don't know if he's called or not, but all I know is that if he wants to be a teacher, he will incur stricter judgment. But there was a scripture that particularly came to me, and I read to him, and I think it, he kind of got a smile on his face, but that was, let's see, 1 Peter, and my Bible ended up getting stuck together in the, let's see here, 5, verse 8, and that's, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I know that that scripture touched him. So the other thing was, you guys still there? Hello?
Oh, yeah, we're still here.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's...
And then that night I was there praying. I was listening, you know, trying to listen more and speak less, slow to speak. But anyways, I was listening as the doctors came in and the nurses, and they were talking about how he's on dialysis and how his kidneys haven't started to function. And so I felt spirit-led to specifically pray for that. And I did. I put one hand on his forehead and one hand down by his kidneys. And, Lord, I said, Lord, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that these kidneys would be restored, that they would start to function. And about the middle of the night, as I'm dozing off, you know, as the beeps are going off and the nurses are coming in every hour on the hour to turn them and this and that. And the one, I got a kick out of the one black nurse that come in there. She was a Christian also. And she lifts up the sheets and she goes, Lord have mercy, you don't have a kidney problem. She says, praise the Lord. She says, I love it when people like you come in here and they just pray and those doctors just scratch their head. And I was just, well, thank you, Lord, you know.
Amen.
So what was supposed to be a 6-week dialysis program was less than a week, and his kidneys are fully functional. In fact, they took the trach out like 2 weeks early. He's starting to eat soft food, so it's all a miracle, and hopefully God will use him in a mighty way.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to hear those type things. It is. You know, we've seen them before. It's good to hear of them again. You know, we serve a mighty and an awesome God, and he does He does hear the prayers of his saints.
Another part of that story is I've been telling this friend of mine, Mike, for years about James 5:14 and anointing oil. And about, oh, I don't know, 2 hours before I left to come back to Colorado, I think it was a Sunday evening or Tuesday evening, we decided to go there and follow Leviticus 14:15, and we anointed him with oil, and I prayed, and he prayed, and praise the Lord. I think that multiplied the healing, because every day I look at the update, and he's just making leaps and bounds. So don't be afraid to share the truth. That's all I can tell you.
Amen.
Well, and it sounds like that it's, you know, no matter what the individual that gets healed, because I came from a background where, you know, if you got healed, you were automatically saved. You know, I mean, that type of thing. But what it does is it edifies the body. You know, so, you know, like you said, whether this guy is called from God, who knows? You know, him and his God knows. You know, maybe some that will hear him in the future will know. But just that story in itself, no matter who it is, it edifies the body and it makes them realize that, hey, prayers work, anointing oil works, you know, and even like your friends, you know, that their eyes have been opened, you know, like you've told me before, John, just hearing you pray, you know, because like I've heard you say, you learn from the best, you know.
Well, amen.
Not that Peter was better than Jesus, but the best as far as we've ever seen walking on two legs.
Yeah.
You know. And it's edification for the body, and it makes the body grow and get more faith, you know, when they see things like that happen, you know.
Yep. I got another positive story too. A couple friends of mine, Jay and Rhea here, local friends. Their kids go to school with my kids at a Christian school. But anyways, they, for years they've been kind of battling me on the baptism thing that, you know, oh, it's not required, this and that. And I gave them, Dad's Don't Miss Out tract, oh, I don't know, a year ago or so. And I still always hit them with it and say, hey, did you read that yet? You know, are you ready? And, he's like, well, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it. And I said, well, don't wait too long, because sometimes you wait too long, you know. Nobody knows what, everybody's got a day appointed, and nobody knows that day. So.
Amen.
And he goes, I was praying, you know, sometimes I like to think the Holy Spirit works through me as I pray, and half the time I don't even quite know what I'm saying, because it's the Holy Spirit that's praying, you know. And he goes, how do you pray like that? How do you remember the scriptures? And how do you? And I said, because I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, yeah, but I'd pray for that. And I said, yeah, but you haven't been baptized, you know. It says specifically, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you're baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. So anyways, praise the Lord. Him and his wife both told me just the other day that they want to be baptized. So
yep.
Persistence pays off.
Praise the Lord.
And tell you what, that little track Dad did, there's probably nothing better out there to really represent the scriptures throughout the Bible that call us to do that, you know?
That's true. That's true. You know, why don't we share that with the people? I think I've got a short little ad on that. Maybe people haven't heard what that is. Don't miss out. But you don't want to miss out. Because like you said, like John said, there will come a day, you know, we're told in the Bible to work while it's day. To work while we can. Because there's a night coming when we won't be able to work, when it'll all be over.
John, people want to order a bunch of those and hand them out, then just order them, because Scriptures for America will take care of the cost on that.
Yep, we've got them.
That's our purpose here.
Amen. Listen up, folks. We'll be right back.
It got down to 11 men, huddled and hunkered down in a foxhole-like fashion in an upper room. So it is told in Acts chapter 1. 11 apostles and a world to win over to Jesus Christ the King. And what happened in a short span of time? The world was won over to Christianity. How is it done? One-on-one. One person told another the good news. The good news gospel and God's gospel plan of salvation. Believe, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was one-on-one, and then that new one that was won over told another one, and soon the world was won. Why not make it your goal to win someone, over to Jesus Christ? Order our new booklet entitled, Don't Miss Out, and then hand it out to someone. Order more than one. How many? How many do you want to reach? Let us know and we'll send them to you, free. Then freely and even discreetly give them out. Order by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, to order. Do your part in 2010 and reach someone using this tool we are giving you. Order it now, today.
And you can do that. You can order that Don't Miss Out track. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And if you want those Don't Miss Out tracks, pamphlets, just drop us a note. Tell us how many you'd like and where you'd like us to send them, and we'll be glad to do that. You can see that pamphlet on our website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can go to the Resource Center, and you can order them there as well. And it's a very, I don't want to say milk pamphlet, but it is. It's a very simple Sure. pamphlet. It doesn't get into theology. It doesn't get into the differences between this and that. It basically just lets you know that the Bible says you must repent and be baptized, and it explains that out.
Yep. And, one of the scriptures I think that helped win them over, especially his wife, was Luke 3:21, when Jesus is baptized. I mean, if it's good enough for him, it should be good enough for you. But it says, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased."
Amen.
You would think that would convict everyone, but unfortunately it don't work.
It's highlighted in my Bible, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what? That's one of the things that Dad would say when we were at gatherings. Not that I'm even a fraction of what Jesus was, obviously, but he would just say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And, man, if that wasn't the best compliment you could get.
Yeah, that.
Amen. Amen. Well, John, what do you say we open the phone lines up this morning? We had, I think,
sure.
Bill from Illinois called earlier just to say good morning and that he's sure appreciative of the way things are going. So here we are, January 7th, 2012, about halfway through the broadcast this morning. If you're up and about, want to give us a call, our number is 307-745-5913. If you do want to call in, and we'll sure see if we can get you on there. Got a email here from Gary, and it's entitled "The Haircut." And he says, "One day a florist went to a barber for a haircut. After the cut, he asked for his bill, and the barber replied, 'I can't accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week.' The florist was pleased and left the shop. When the barber went to open his shop the next morning, there was a thank you card and a dozen roses waiting for him at his door. Later, a cop comes in for a haircut, and when he tries to pay for his bill, the barber again replied, 'I can't accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week.' The cop was happy and left the shop. The next morning, when the barber went to open up, there was a thank you card and a dozen donuts waiting for him at the door. So community service could pay off. That's not a bad thing. Then a congressman came in for a haircut, and when he went to pay his bill, the barber again replied, 'I cannot accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week.' The congressman was very happy and left the shop. The next morning, when the barber went to open it up, there were a dozen congressmen lined up waiting for a free haircut." And that,
yeah, amen.
As it says, illustrates the fundamental difference between the people of our country and the politicians who run it.
Yep.
Anyway, little different direction, but I thought that was applicable enough to present out to everybody. You got to be careful the kind of humor and jokes you use on the radio. We don't mean to offend, that's for sure, but if you're one of the politicians that were there in line for the free haircut,
repent or perish.
That's the way it goes. That truly is. It truly is. Well, if you came and joined us, if you started 2012 off right, We hope that you did and joined us at church last Sunday for The Greatest Love Story Never Told, Part 1. We hope that you'll continue to do so, that you'll join us tomorrow. And I think we're going to have The Greatest Love Story Never Told, Part 2. Just depends if Jason was able to get the video completed and done. But, hey, join us at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mountain Time. And you, too, will find out if that's what we're going to have at church. We'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee this morning.
Hey, this is Randall in North Carolina.
Hi, Randall.
I've been following the ministry for quite a good while. In fact, I've been sending you a little something along anonymously.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. The Lord does provide.
Amen.
And I fought it. I fought ICE. I tried to make ICE say because of and looked and read everywhere I could and couldn't make it justify the to Baptist way. And I think the information the Indian put out about obedience kind of tripped a switch for me, because on the 30th I was on the front door of a Church of Christ preacher's house, rang the doorbell, told his wife, I need to see the pastor. He come out on the porch. I said, I'm convicted. I said, I need the baptism in Acts 2:38. And he said, well, where are you? And I told him. And he said, what if I meet you up at the church? I said, you know where it is? At 9 o'clock. I said, okay. I come home. I said, a few minutes. And I said, well, hey, I better head on up there. I got there before he did. He come up. We went inside, sat down. He said, let me go turn the heater on the baptistry. It's 65 in here. Need to warm it up. We sat down. I went through from kindergarten all the way up through two washings. And I didn't tell him. I told him that I was listening to a Church of Christ ministry on the radio. I didn't tell him who it was, and he didn't ask.
But probably wise.
He said, huh?
That was probably wise.
And I feel somewhat guilty about that, but I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly what to do about that. And anyway, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ for remission of sins and to receive the Holy Spirit, and back on the road at 9 o'clock.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Don't feel guilty about that, not telling what ministry you're listening to, because we have to be wise as serpents too. You sure wouldn't want them to hold you down under there too long.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good story.
That is.
Thank you.
Could I talk to Richard later on off the air, you reckon?
No, he's not allowed.
Yeah. Randall, today, or you want to give me a call in the office on Monday, or what would be best for you?
Today, if it was all right, after the broadcast.
Okay. Yeah, just call this number back just maybe a couple minutes after the top of the hour. That'll only be in about 25 minutes or so, and I'll hang around here in this office.
Thank you so much.
All right, sir. Thank you for sharing that with us, Randall.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
And you know, that right there illustrates, as the pastor would say, a true Israelite.
Yeah.
Someone that's been listening for a while finally was, in his words, convicted. John, just like your friends, Jay and Rhea.
Yep. Amen.
And, that... that is how we contact the blood of Christ, is when we are baptized for the remission of sins. Romans 8:9 tells us, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And how many times do we read, if we'll just have eyes to see it, that, we have to, the old man has to die. We do have to die to sin. We have to no longer be in the darkness of this world, in the dominion of darkness, but we do have to be transferred to the dominion of light.
Yep.
And
have to get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, too.
We do, and there's only one way to do that, and that is to be, and here we go, the Judeo-Christian world, you hear it all the time, but guess what? You have to be born again.
Yep.
And again, in the words of the pastor, what do you do with a dead man? You bury him. You don't sprinkle some dirt on him. You don't dry clean him. You bury him.
Yep.
And we have to be buried with Christ in baptism so that we can be alive with him.
Clothed with him, yeah.
Just like it says here. That's where we get that Spirit of Christ. So.
And unfortunately, and it's just the way it is, folks, is there's perverts out there who pervert the word. And like Randall said, you might not have understood him if you haven't listened to many of pastors' messages, but the word ice is the Greek word for four. And when it says you're baptized for the remission of sins, there are some perverts out there that change that word into because of. You know, and Pastor brought that out, and obviously Randall had heard those messages, and that, you know, you can go to any Greek scholar, and the word for ice, which is ice in Greek, that never means because of.
Right.
But, you know, if you're just a dumb sheep like we all are, and you happen to go to a church that has one of these perverts on the pulpits, you're in trouble because, you know, you need to pray for discernment for one, but a lot of times if you're going to those churches, you don't get that discernment, you know, until you come across a man of God, like Pastor Peters or whomever. But, you know, unfortunately, that there's a lot of them out there. It's not just a few. You know.
There are. And, you know, you have to be careful with your Bible. I told you, I've got my my father-in-law's old King James, and it's a study Bible put out by Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be careful of the footnotes, because you know whose name is in the front of this? Jerry Falwell. And when you read Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, this is the Apostle Peter, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, my 9-year-old can understand that. And you need to understand that out there. But you know what it says down in the footnotes? For several reasons, be baptized should not be joined with for the remission of sins to teach baptismal regeneration. First, the context demonstrates that only blah, 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 whosoever shall be saved. It'll quote Peter there, but it won't quote Peter where it says, now doth baptism save us?
Yeah.
There are tares out there. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they will take the simple word of God and do all they can to change it. Third, the soteriological passages throughout the New Testament do not include water baptism in the salvation experience. Well, they'll say that, but if you'll read the New Testament, you'll read that many times water baptism is included in the salvation experience. So, just like you guys said, you have to be wise as serpents. You have to have the and pray for the discernment. Because there are wolves even as big as old Falwell.
Be careful you don't
put this stuff up.
Yeah, be careful you don't get too educated in the world.
Amen. Let's go to the phone lines. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers, and thanks for holding.
Good morning, Richard. This is Cal.
Good morning, Cal.
I'm enjoying this testimony of John's. It's just a wonderful testimony of laying down your life for your friends and taking the time out of his life to minister to his friend. And
thank you,
so
sir.
Came to me on baptism. I think a lot of people are not following Acts 2:38 because they've seen baptism, maybe they've been baptized, and nothing happened because they were not done according to the Word of God.
That's a good point.
And they didn't get the Holy Spirit. I'm pretty sure, in my experience, that I was born again because I got the gift of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't stop joyfully going about for 6 or 8 months. I just couldn't believe what a change in my life it was.
And that's how it is, Cal, when it's true, when it's proper, when the instructions are followed. Of course you have to believe, but it doesn't say be baptized. What does it say? repent and be baptized.
Exactly.
And to repent, one, you have to understand that there's sin.
Yeah.
And that you have sinned, that we have all sinned. The Bible says that. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to understand that. But then they have to understand that you have to repent. And then it's thy will, not mine. And when the proper instructions and the proper understanding is there.
The proper name.
The proper name is huge.
That's the one that they get you on.
Yeah.
There I think so you followed it all, but it says in the name of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Not Yahshua. Not...
I guarantee you, that is the name is Jesus Christ. It is. Yep. There is no Yahoo-y-Foo-y name
nope.
that there is salvation in. It is in the name of Jesus Christ and that name alone. And
well, God says, I'm not a liar. I can't lie.
Exactly.
So you have to take him at his word.
Amen.
And all scripture is given for correction, instruction, and training in righteousness. And you have to believe what God has said. His testimony is true. Every
right.
man can be a liar, but God is not.
But you don't get the discernment, and you can't unlock those truths hidden within the Bible unless you do receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely right. And I can tell you from my testimony, when that happens, as somebody had mentioned before a few months ago, and says, boy, if you are baptized, all hell will break loose, because Satan said, how'd you let him get away with that? And
yeah.
it'll come on you. So
amen.
Don't think that it's unusual that you're going to have a lot of problems thereafter, but the joy will still be there unspeakably.
Yeah, and like we talked last Tuesday, Cal, the fear. Remember we talked about how the fear
yep.
left us, you know, because we were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You know?
Yep.
That's right.
But that's why it's so critical to pray the Lord's Prayer and full armor of God, Ephesians 6, every day.
Yep.
Because you war against the devil, he'll war against you.
Well, thanks for the great testimony. Good talk this morning, fellas. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bless you.
And we've still got a few minutes left if you do want to call in, 307-745-5913. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. And if you don't have that gift of the Holy Spirit, you are a natural man, and you cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. It's as simple as that. It really is. It goes on and says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. And it
yep.
ends up saying, but we have the mind of Christ. And there's only one way to get that.
Yeah, I'd like to say something about what Randall said. He said he was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's because there's two spots. One in the Gospel that says, when Jesus sends them out, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts, it tells you to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know when Pastor baptized me years ago, he did that just what Randall had done. And that is, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Some do one, some do the other, just to cover the basis. You know,
yep.
What's wrong with just doing what the Word says? One part of the Word says, it's just like some people will say, you can't work your way to heaven. And some people will say, faith only. I mean, why not just combine them? You know, why
yep.
not have faith with Word? It's the same thing.
The Word
harmonizes
them.
Yep.
The Word harmonizes them, you know.
Yep. And then there's some out there also just thinking about, you know, there's always a few hardcores or whatever. Do you guys have to just cram baptism down, you know? Yes, there's nothing wrong with a glass of milk once in a while, you know.
Right.
You know, not everybody's ready for meat, and sometimes it's just nice to just sit down and have the milk, you know. And it's so needed. And like, you know, like John said in his testimony earlier, you know, there's people all over this world that they gotta go into the door before they can, you know, start living and walking and running with Jesus. They've got to first get there, you know, and that's how you do it, you know. So it's very important that we do stress, And like Pastor Peters always did, you know, here I go again. Well, here we go again. Because it's so important.
And it's needed.
Yeah.
It is needed. There are so many out there that, you know, are just tuning in. There's untold numbers that are just listening to us right now for the first time on the Internet. You know, they've seen the website. Maybe they've seen it advertised in some of the Patriot magazines or in some of the places that, you know, maybe on some other web ads or something. And they just happen to tune in this Saturday morning. And this is the first they've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's those that have, you know, get our newsletter every month for the first time. And, you know, and our goal, our job, our responsibility is what the Great Commission says. To go out and preach the gospel to all creation. And a main part of that gospel story is to be baptized. To understand the Word of God, to repent, to be baptized. And you know, and people, that's not, it may seem like an end. And it is an end to the natural man, but it's just the beginning to the spiritual man.
It is just
that's when God says, okay, welcome aboard. Now let's see what we can do.
Well, as one of you guys, I don't remember which one of you said it earlier, you got to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And unfortunately, by the Word of God, your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So, you know, so when Richard says that's the beginning, that's the beginning.
It is.
Because you can lose it. You know?
It is. It is not an end-all. And again, the name is so important. You know, the name is, it is Jesus Christ. We speak English in this country, and not some, we speak English.
Not something that was invented in 1930.
Yeah,
right. That's why it makes so much sense what we believe, you know, that the children are covered by the parents' umbrella until age 20, because at age 20, you were able to fight in a war, so you were a man.
Yes.
So, but at age 20, God's saying, okay, now I'm going to hold you accountable, you know?
Yes.
If you want to be baptized and you want to be a Christian, you want your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, guess what? You can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk, and you will be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the beauty of it. Because if you're sprinkled when you're a child, or even if you're baptized when you're a child and you don't understand the reason of it, it kind of loses a lot of its meaning, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, it does. It does. You know, and many churches will do that. And it's because either one, they don't understand it, or two, they understand it. They are not entering into the kingdom, and they do what they can to keep others from entering
in. Yep. One of the best illustrations Dad gave us, I mean, there was many, obviously. Maybe it's not one of the best, but one of them that still sticks in my mind is Brother Word, you know, when they offered him a big contract to preach and be, you know, someone like Falwell, and then they told him the things he could not preach about, and I can't remember them all. Maybe you guys do, but I know baptism was
baptism
one of them.
And tithing.
Yep.
Those
tithing,
were the two things he couldn't preach.
Yeah, because they know that tithing benefits the people.
It does.
And baptism, obviously, we know why that was, but he absolutely refused to whore himself and to do that, and that's just one that sticks in my mind, and that's the way our pastor was, too. No matter what, he didn't care what the consequences were. He was going to tell you the truth. So that's the thing I admired about him more, and that guts and the other two stones that he had that no other preachers I know have.
Yeah.
So,
you know, in talking about tithing, we always hear Malachi, and here we're running out of time. We've just got a couple
Malachi
minutes.
Malachi 3:10, yeah.
But I'd like to end with this. You know, I believe it was Paul's letter to the Philippians. Do I have that right, Kyle? Yeah. Paul and Timothy are writing this, but letter of Paul to the Philippians. And in Philippians 4, you know, he talks about, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along by humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And right there is where it says, and many people will remember this verse, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Yep,
and we can. And if you go just a little bit further down, in verse 17, or actually in 16, it says, for even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs, And so Paul's acknowledging that. He's thanking them. And he says, thank you for that. And then he says, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. He understood that when the people tithed, when the people gifted, when the people gave, that it increased their account. You know, he understood that they stored up treasures in heaven when they took care of those that were doing the work of the Lord. And it's true today. And we've talked about this, that not that we seek the gift itself, but I could say for this ministry too, that we seek for the profit which increases to your account when you do support us.
Yep.
Well, John, Kyle, we're about out of time. I mean, we've got time just to say goodbye, and again, we're going to give our address. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's coming to you on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. You can also find us on the website. Our ministry website is scripturesforamerica.org. You can listen to the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week broadcast there. And we invite you to church tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. And that's where you need to go to join us for church, scripturesforamerica.org. You can watch it or you can listen to it. We also have our complete broadcast schedule, and it's an updated schedule. If you haven't looked there recently, haven't visited there recently, we encourage you to do so. We are making some improvements to the website, and that network website is sfawbn.com. Again, that's sfawbn.com. And all these programs are archived there as well. Well, men, thanks again for joining us. We'll go out with one of the boss's favorite songs, and we'll see you at church in the morning.
Thank you.
Rolling, 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 stay calm. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.